Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
There's no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried in cheers and applause. Don't be silly. This is episode number 253 of That Larry Show, and I am Larry, and I'm starting to scare myself. Over all those episodes, there's been a lot of ground covered. In episode 178, the killer plague is here. I predicted this pandemic, but I was far from the only one. Lots of people have done that. But there was another episode, number 38. It was called Planet Snitch, which is what we're becoming. And the whole snitch-sitch may be just in its infancy. This pandemic is sure ramping up snitchery. New York City just created its very own snitch app. Here's their mayor pitching it to the terror-stricken and compliant masses.
Now it is easier than ever when you see a crowd, when you see a line that's not distanced, when you see a supermarket that's too crowded, anything, you can report it right away so we can get help there to fix the problem. And now it's as simple as taking a photo. All you got to do is take the photo and put the location with it and bang, send a photo like this and we will make sure that enforcement comes right away. Text the photo to 311-692 and action will ensue.
How about that, huh? Well, blissfully since its debut, that snitch app has been flooded with porn, threats, and memes of de Blasio characterized as Hitler. So apparently, there are still some New Yorkers that are not brain dead. Good on them. Besides the snitchery, there's been no shortage of hyperbolic doomsaying. But not everybody says it's curtains. Here's a quotation from a 10-year veteran New York Times reporter named Alex Berenson, the last guy you would expect to be critical of all the media hysteria.
People in the media, I mean, are actively misleading Americans about what the risks are here. So if you look at the risks, okay, one of the most unbelievable statistics in this is how age stratified the deaths are. And the best estimate is that more people over the age of 100 have died worldwide from this than under the age of 30. This just does not affect it. I mean, children can get it, but they don't get sick from it. They don't die from it. Same with teenagers and people in their 20s also. I mean, there's going to be some rare exceptions to this stuff. Just the way, you know, a plane crashes once in a while, it does not mean that flying is not safe. This is incredibly age stratified.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I want to thank my brother for hipping me to that. Should help some of us sleep a little better, no? The hysteria on the part of the media and the government isn't just stupid. It can be lethal. What do I mean? Well, just last week I guested on my buddy Nick Ricada's show. If you don't know Nick, he's an attorney and a very big deal on YouTube. And he created a series entitled Chad Dads, and I am honored to be one of those dads, the others being Nick, Ty, Beard, and A-list cartoonist Doug TenNapel, creator of the famed character Earthworm Jim. And we get together online every few months, have a drink and talk, and it's usually pretty light and jocular. But it took a dark turn when Doug made a startling revelation. Here's that clip.
Right. This hits me personally because right before the coronavirus outbreak, I was diagnosed with malignant melanoma. I have cancer on my face right here. Deadly, one of the deadliest forms of cancer you can get. They need to excise that. Ooh. They're supposed to do surgery and cut it out. They're going to cut 3 inches by 2 inches off my beautiful face and basically go all the way because they have to get it all out. Then they're going to do tests on my lymph nodes. They have to go in and see if it's spread all over my effing body. They had to delay that. The best cure for cancer is early detection. And they pushed it back by 6 weeks. So now I don't get my surgery and my test to see how bad it is till June.
But Doug, you can get an abortion.
Yeah, right. It's too bad this wasn't made of unborn fetus, because they'll be falling over each other to cut it out of me. Basically, the death rate for coronavirus is well under 1%. Well under 1% in America. The death rate for my malignant melanoma, if they find it in my lymph nodes, is 65%.
Oh, God.
That if there's any danger to my life, it's because of this hysterical. My doctor even said, like, Doug, I'm sorry, this is a state mandate. The delays were imposed on them by the government, how long they had to wait for my level of cancer. It's now, I'll sign any waiver that says I waiver any risk or any problem that I might have. And they said, no, this is from the state. We can't do anything about it.
Well, there you go. Doug has a potentially lethal diagnosis, but he has to delay treatment because the fucking government says so. How many thousands, tens, or even hundreds of thousands of American men, women, and children are in his exact precarious predicament because government thinks corona matters more? All those state governors are saying,
hey, cancer people, you just cool your jets with your non-essential elective surgeries, even though delay may kill you. I'm mandating priority to the ailment that gets me on TV, makes me a star and a hero, and I'm not letting Cuomo or Newsom outshine me.
Those of you who believe in God, I might ask you here to please throw a prayer Doug's way, and for everyone else facing grave danger and being sidelined by government mandates. There's another word assholes get erect just from saying: mandates. They love it, don't they? I've done some informal polling of friends around the country, and it seems like LA and New York are where people are most terrified. The twin media meccas. Think that could have anything to do with it? People are on edge. People are angry. People are sick of this quarantine. Everybody's worn out with this corona shit by now. It's been politicized, and the world economy is in the toilet. And people are at each other's throats more than ever. Crises used to pull people together. Remember 9/11? American flags were as sold out as face masks or toilet paper. You could not see across the street for the rah-rah smoke. It was hooray America and fuck those terrorists. That was then. Now, everybody hates everybody, unless they're part of their team. Our culture's obsessed with teams. Maybe it's rooted in sports fandom. I've never been a fan of any team sports. There are a lot of reasons for that. I don't like uniforms. Not real big on chants. Too many rules, the worst of which is football. To me, it's like watching a team seizure. Play, whistle, stop, play, repeat. I prefer single combatant sports, boxing, tennis, caged death matches, parkour. All my life I've been fielding those fucking questions. Mets or Yankees? Giants or Jets? Dodgers or Angels? Lakers or Clippers? Red or blue? And oh, the befuddled looks you get when you say, neither. Some people just cannot handle that. If you refuse to take a side, they get pissed. And it appears this corona thing has polarized the country like nothing before. Over the most hot-button issue imaginable, what they perceive as life and death. The Doommeisters keep screaming, don't go back to work, we're all gonna die. But if the planet doesn't get over this cower-in-place order soon, a fuck-ton more people might die of starvation, and maybe war, because economic destruction can fuck up the world way, way more than germs. The byproduct of the Great Depression was World War II. As of this moment, the corona death toll, which many say is far from accurate, either under or overestimated depending on which team you're on, but let's take the numbers at face value. The worldwide death toll today is about 180,000. Well, coincidentally, that number is one-tenth the death toll of a single battle of World War II, the Battle of Stalingrad. 1,800,000 dead guys, mostly Russian and German. Not one of them had a fucking virus. Is anybody thinking that far down the road? How many asshats cranking out all these computer models, which have all been wildly inaccurate? How many of these geeks even heard of the Battle of Stalingrad or have any idea what starts wars? The curve is flattening around the globe. The pandemic is in retreat. But they're calling this a war. First time I heard that, I thought, now we're fucked. Government doesn't seem to handle the wars it invents very well. How's that war on drugs working out? Or the war on poverty? How about the war on terror, huh? 20 years of airport gropes, feel-ups, body scans, x-rays, and gee whiz, any mention of a ceasefire in the war on terror? Fuck no. And there never will be. When the last Al-Qaeda chooch is worm food, the TSA will still be keeping you
safe.
Just wait till those blue-gloved lovelies are tasked with securing our biosafety. If they can't get an accurate temperature reading with a laser thermometer, then it will be,
step behind this curtain so we can shove one up your ass. Oh, you refuse? Have a nice walk to Phoenix, citizen.
Watch how fast those jetways will have antiseptic misters built into them, same as they have for cattle. Emirates flights are already requiring blood tests for passengers. Ready to give blood along with those luggage fees? Economies are remarkably delicate systems. Relatively minor events can topple them. And when that happens, bad shit follows without fail. So this country, which was already divided to a degree that's almost hard to comprehend, now has a new line in the sand. And on either side stand two teams. Those teams should have names and uniforms, and musical anthems. On one side are the SHABs, that's
stay home and be safe.
No matter how long it takes, months, years, decades, doesn't matter. On the other side are the GAWAs, get out and work again. I don't have time to compose an entire anthem for each of them, but these signature chords would herald either's entrance to the arena. These right here are C and F major sevenths. That two-chord phrase is pretty much standard for treacly soap operas and jingles for feminine hygiene products and chamomile teas and psoriasis remedies. And it's just kind of soft and limp, and if it had a color, the color would be puce. If it had a day, it would be Sunday, late in the afternoon with a soft, depressing rain. No hope, all is lost. Lie down and die. The SHABs will sit around in PJs and masks until the end of fucking time. They will be
safe.
Now the other team, they've got a different sound, kind of like this. That's just a plain old E major with some metal fuzz on it, but that chord says, get up off your ass and do something, anything, just fucking move. The GAWAs, they don't like rainy Sunday afternoons, and they don't own any PJs. They sleep nude, so they're ready for sex, the continuation of life. The SHABs, who they tend to love government They trust government. They love authority. They love to obey. They make Facebook posts that are so incredibly juvenile, they almost defy comprehension. Here's a recent one from a local neighborhood group. Now, this group used to concern itself with rising crime, break-ins and car thefts, stuff like that. Now it's all coronavirus gotcha posts, like this one.
I was at a gas station today and was the only person wearing a mask. Every pump had a person at it. I thought we were supposed to wear masks in public. They stand across the pumps from one another, and in no way is that 6 feet of social distancing. What's up with that?
Well, that set off a shitstorm of go-get-em responses. Some actually suggested the guy should have snapped photos of all offenders' license plates and sent them to the cops for evidence. I should have told him to move to New York and download the Snitch app. One of the silver linings to this pandemic panic has been I get to be with my kids again. Usually they're at school, and I don't see them as much as I'd like. So a few days ago, we all piled into the fun wagon and headed up to a place called the Antelope Valley. It's about an hour from LA at the edge of the Mojave Desert, and it's got a world-famous attraction this time of year, the poppy fields. It almost defies description, which is why I shot a bunch of pictures and some video, and we'll post them on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. The Antelope Valley is big, 2,200 square miles, and a hell of a lot of those miles are covered by these psychedelic orange flowers. I mean, carpeted with them. It's surreal. There's a wind farm in a corner of the valley, so the wind is just about constant and powerful. If you're not careful opening the car door, a gust can tear it right off. Now the thing is, a big part of the poppy fields are controlled by the state of California. And all their websites said, "Parks closed. Don't come. Safer at home." And we said, "Tough shit. We're coming anyway." Now when you get close, it's very reminiscent of a scene from The Wizard of Oz, where the witch puts a spell on them and they fall asleep in the poppy fields until they're awakened by a surprise snowfall. And as we crested the mountain and saw that magnificent orange valley below, I recalled another time when we'd visited, back when my kids were toddlers. It was a warm day, t-shirts and shorts, and we were out in those fields when suddenly the sky in the distance turned charcoal gray and blocked the sun. The temperature dropped, not to cool, but to cold. And that dark sky moved toward us with astonishing speed, driven by the desert wind. In a minute or two, it looked like twilight, and snow began to fall. Not flurries, it was a blizzard, a whiteout. We hot-footed it to the car at the roadside. I turned the motor over to get some heat and hit the wipers to clear the windshield, which had at least a half-inch accumulation in a matter of seconds. My kids were amazed, and I'd never seen anything like it. Not long after, that ominous cloud and the storm it carried just cruised away like some gigantic airborne iceberg. The sun came back. Magically, it was again a bright, early afternoon in one of the most beautiful spots on the planet. Steam rose from the ground as the snow evaporated. And now here we were many years later, in the same place, with this same glorious beauty, and there was again a cloud, albeit an invisible one, over the entire planet. And its precipitation was a blizzard of fear and anxiety and acrimony and lies and madness. Across the road was another family. One of them, a pretty girl in her cap and gown, maybe high school, maybe college, shooting her graduation picture. She was having a tough time keeping that mortarboard on her head, but she found it all very funny. They were laughing and having a great time. I cupped my face and screamed congratulations as loud as I could. She waved, and I heard a faint thank you above the relentless gusts. That graduate was out there, in that gorgeous place, on that gorgeous day, shooting the most memorable graduation pictures ever. Utterly unique. Those images would forever capture not just her moment in time, but her majestic spirit. Her refusal to comply, to cower, to obey, and to kowtow to mindless authority. I wondered how many of her classmates were home taking their class pictures on the front doorstep, wearing masks, petrified. The odds of contracting a disease, any disease, in that open space with blazing sunshine and near gale force winds was less than zero. There were other people around, enjoying the day, hundreds of yards apart. Yet officially, according to the government, the place was closed and everyone there was non-compliant, in violation. To the credit of the park rangers, they were not breaking balls. One sat in a pickup at the park entrance, didn't seem perturbed by the cars gathered at the roadside. I saw a lone cop drive by. He didn't seem to give a shit either. Kudos to them. They were not chasing down people to handcuff them like those assholes with that lone surfer on the beach a week or two earlier. Even though I don't do teams, I suppose you've figured out which one I'd be on, and it's not the Shabs. Because this cloud of gloom will pass, just like the one over the Antelope Valley did all those years ago. And before the fallout from it has even begun to evaporate, those Shabs will be hyping the next crisis, because that's what they do. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. I've got a bonus episode coming up soon, which you'll find at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. We've had quite an influx of new patrons, and I want to spend some quality time with them. Stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com for a look at the stunning Antelope Valley poppy fields. While there you can peruse many other episodes. Be sure to click a subscribe button. It costs nothing, but lets you know whenever there's a new episode posted. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. There's a deep bench of smart guys here to help you over any hurdle. On the job, if you still have one. School, even Zoom school. And even in the romance department if you're not socially distancing. I'll see you soon again for that bonus episode on Patreon and the regular show next Tuesday or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit.